Welcome to the Coffee in the Barn. I'm Casey Bradley, president and founder of the Sunswine Group. If you are thinking about entering, changing, advancing, or reinventing your career in the animal science industry, we are here to help you succeed. In each episode, we will cover a variety of topics surrounding work, life, and professional development, leveraging my 20 plus years as a global leader within the livestock industry and my ever-growing professional network to interview other leading professionals. We couldn't do this without our sponsors, NutriQuest, IFF, and Continental Search. Reach out to us on our social media platforms or visit thesunswinegroup.com and subscribe now not to miss another episode.
Hey guys, it's Andres Moneo, your host for today's episode of Coffee in the Barn. Have you ever considered how important it is to expand your network, but you still haven't figured out how to do it? Well, today, networking expert Ashley Owens from Ashley Assist will teach us in a two-part episode how to build your network to succeed, tips on how to start a conversation, and of course, her amazing sense of humor along the way. The segment for today's episode is taken from one of our recorded webinars, Networking Like a Boss with Ashley Owens, which you can find on our YouTube channel, Animal Science Office Hours. Remember, don't forget to like, share, comment, and subscribe for future episodes.
So today, to educate us all on tactical networking and how to network like a boss, please welcome Ashley Owens.
Thank you, everybody, for being here today. If you don't mind turning your cameras on, I'm super shy. So yeah, we're going to talk about networking like a boss. And what this really means is being very tactical about your networking activities, because sometimes networking just sucks. Sometimes it's real tough. And sometimes we just don't want to hang out and actually have conversations with people. And I understand the fear that goes into that. Yes, I am an extrovert, but I did not get this way by being an extrovert, by always being an extrovert. The main point about this program we're going to talk about today is you're going to be able to cherry pick from things that make sense for you. You're going to get a ton of information. Don't worry about taking notes. You're welcome to, but I'm going to provide a link to a hidden page. So that way you can get all of the necessary information from this presentation, as well as helpful resources that I also reference in this presentation. Thank you very much. I'm going to share my screen. I can't share my screen while other participant is sharing. So if you can stop sharing for just a moment. All right, so we have just heard about a ton of things about me, but let's do some fun facts just because that's how networking really is getting to know something new. So let's do this. I'm originally from North Jersey, which just means I'm a real fast talker and I've got the best bagels. I'm coming from Jersey, but let me tell you, all the Jews and the Italians, they come from New York and then they plop themselves into North Jersey so I can know a really good croissant, or I can go to New York and get them. Otherwise, I haven't found a good bagel in Pennsylvania yet. I have no kids, a very fat cat, so if you hear a small child crying at some point during this presentation, that is my fat cat wanting second breakfast. Just ignore him like I do. Previously, I was a celebrity personal assistant, which just means I have a lot of therapy bills and I know how to navigate New York pretty well. I've competed in CrossFit competitions. Honestly, when I was really good at it, I could deadlift 225 one time and then cry in a corner quietly. But I came in 31st place out of 34 in a competition, which just means I survived it. Don't clap. It's pretty embarrassing. Karaoke champ 2016, to be fair, it was at my bachelorette party. I have since been divorced, so that'll tell you what that means. Been in 12 movies as an extra, Casey, been in 12 movies as an extra, which just means I can sleep really anywhere up against any hard surface. When you're an extra in different movies, they get you on set for about 12 to 16 hours. So I get a chance to learn more about the movie business in that area, but otherwise, the only cool skill I gained from that is I can really just take these little micro naps and sleep on any surface. And then I once ate a Carolina Reaper. Does anybody know what a Carolina Reaper is?
You survived it, so.
I'm not dead yet. Jack, I think you're nodding. Do you know what a Carolina Reaper is? Oh, you got to turn yourself off and mute, darling.
It's just one of the hottest peppers around, so.
It's a bad life choice. That's what that is. Yeah, well,
I was going to say, as a nutritionist, how did that digestive tract survive?
It didn't. It was a story and a half. That's not appropriate for this kind of professional presentation I'm giving today. But thank you very much for asking, Jack. Thank you for your participation. You get a gold star. All right, folks. All right, this is the interactive session. Do me a favor. I need to kind of gauge the audience. This is purely for me just to understand where you guys are at. How stressful for you is networking on a scale of like 1 to 10? 10 being the worst. 10 being like super duper scared, having a panic attack in a parking lot, which I think everybody needs to at one point in their lives. Let me just tell you, it happens. You guys can take yourselves off mute and tell me why. Or you can put it in the chat. I'd be happy to answer that as well. 3, Caroline, you're 3. We mean 7, Catherine Wells, Siobhan, 7-7. Wes, you're 3. 6-6-6. Cool. Awesome, awesome. 4-3. Thank you. I feel like I'm...
It's a 1 now, thanks to Ashley.
Oh, okay. So fancy. Thank you very much. 7. Hey, Ashley Moss, would you mind taking yourself off mute, honey, and tell me why it's a 7?
I just feel like I'm a 7. I can usually go out there and talk to a bunch of people. Don't have too much issues.
Okay. No, 10 is the worst. So like on a scale of how...
Oh, well, then I should be a 3.
Okay. Okay.
My bad.
No problem. No problem. Beth, you are an 8.5. Is that correct? Would you mind telling me why?
I guess I've just never been very good at like small talk. So kind of doing those conversations are stressful.
Yeah, I get that, man. Like sometimes when I'm in a conversation with somebody, especially when I first started, really understanding how to navigate a conversation, because I get it. Some people suck real bad. Like they're not good at communicating effectively. So, but there's also a fear that comes with that, right? There's like, I feel like I have to tell you the cool things about me and then you have to reciprocate. And they're like, I have like 3 cool things that my mom said I was cool about. And I don't know what else to tell you, right? I get it. Awesome. Thank you very much for your participation, Beth. You're the best. Okay, so it's kind of like a mix, which is great. Beth, put yourself back. I love your background, Beth. Can I see you? Thank you, girl. You look great today. You look super comfy. I need that jacket. Agenda. So what we're going to go through today, again, I talked about being very, really cherry picking from the things that make sense for you. Networking is a personal activity. It's not a one size fits all type thing. So when you're communicating and networking with another individual, you have to remember that like, there are opportunities to build relationships by actually just being a person. So I really want you to take away the stress of feeling like you have to prove yourself or to just show value every single time of like why you're valuable. What I want you to do is just have a conversation, because at the end of the day, nobody's going to buy from you or nobody's going to want to connect with you if you haven't built up the know, the like, and the trust factor. We're going to go more into that or touch on it a little bit, but think about it. When you're networking or you're communicating internally with somebody, let's say within your own organization, there's going to be, nobody cares about what you do. Nobody cares. Really, truly, nobody cares. They care what you can do for them. And it's vice versa. So how do you build up a relationship that you can build the know, like, and trust factor and give value at the same time? We're going to go through a couple things, the reality of networking, because everyone talks about building relationships, but it's like, how do you do that? How do you do that? Right? Steps to get started, knowing yourself. Unless you're in therapy, it's a little hard to digest. Knowing your audience, planning your work and working your plan, tools and resources, and questions on how I can help. If you have questions, interactive session, no question is dumb. No question is, because she's an expert, she's not going to understand. Let's talk about it, because I want to have these conversations with you to really understand how I can help directly. I have put my foot, just as an FYI, I have put my foot in my mouth more often than I think any of you have, because I just talk a lot. If we're talking about being embarrassed, don't. I am the queen of that. Awesome. All right. Hey, Case, Caroline has a question. I think you might want to answer that. I think she's having trouble with Zoom. Here's the problem with people, because people sometimes suck for you. Here's what the norm is right now. Most professionals are operating virtually, right? So that really means that we are trying to learn a different form of communicating by doing things virtually. The enthusiasm around talking to somebody new, or at least trying to gauge how to communicate, can be really frustrating and stressful. And plus, sometimes, again, just like we see here, technology can be kind of a pain in the butt. And unless it's working 100% of the time, sometimes it can give off not even a bad reputation, but more of a conflicting way of communicating, right? Because you're not always, I'm enthusiastic because I've got 17 cups of coffee in me, which I prep for before I do these things. But otherwise, sometimes things can get lost in translation, right? Or you've got, somebody not having a clue how to join a webinar, and then you got to talk to them about the whole thing. It's a whole, like, scroll down, Carl, please. Just scroll down in the email, click the link. We'll be good to go. It's not always easy for everybody. So being able to network virtually sometimes might be a little challenging in the beginning. And then, are you able to connect with new people? So by connecting with new people, how does that compared to meeting somebody in person. And then, you know, to Beth's point, sometimes the small talk can be even more awkward when you're doing things virtually. And then, are pants optional? Because apparently that's a thing now. People don't wear pants on calls. I don't get it. It's just, it's always Darren who just forgets he's not wearing pants. All right, here's the reality. Now, when you're building up a network, when you're identifying ways to truly build up people that will advocate for you when you're not in the room, you really want to make sure before you even consider keeping them in your sphere of influence or people that you want to back you up, do they do these three things? Only people who actually genuinely care are going to talk to you and not at you like an Italian mother during Christmas time asking when you're going to have kids. Or only genuinely people who care are going to help you anyway. You don't have to beg for their help. You don't have to ask them, say, hey, because if I do this, will you do this? People who genuinely care are people that are called givers. These givers will identify ways to bring you value and help you with a resource, with an introduction, something of that nature. They're in their bones, they want to help. And then only people who genuinely care will ask you for realistic favors. I'm not saying ask them for a $10,000 sponsorship for an event that may or may not happen, right? Or, hey, would you mind, you know, picking up my dry cleaning, going and get my kids and then, you know, making me dinner? Like, that's an unrealistic favor, right? So when you start to build up people in your influence, make sure that they hit these top things, because that foundation means that they actually give a damn. And if they care, they're going to help you more throughout the entirety of your networking growth. So here's a question. You can throw these in the chat, no problem. What is the maximum number of people that we can maintain relationships with and have social interactions with? What do you guys think? Number-wise.
No, I know. I mean, I'm...
If you guys can throw it in the chat. Casey's cheating. 50, close. Catherine, you're close, darling. Keep going, folks. 30. Siobhan, nope. Oh, Morgan, you're even closer.
I started low on purpose, Ashley. I'm helping.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. 80, close. 80, Patricia, you're close. Ellen, close. The number is 150. And the reason why it's 150 is because there's a theory by British anthropologist Robin Dunbar. And what they're talking about here in this theory is that the tightest circle has just five people. Those are loved ones. Then that's followed by a successive layer of 15 good friends, 50 friends, 150 meaningful contacts, 500 acquaintances, and then 1,500 people that you can recognize. People might migrate in and out of these layers, but the idea is that they have to be carved out for anybody new to come in. So if you exceed 150, a network is unlikely to last long or cohere well. So think about that when you're meeting with somebody new, or if you're trying to get the attention of somebody that could potentially help you down the line. They really have to hit these top three things, and you don't have to talk to every single Joe, Dick, and Harry. Okay?
Story. Number one Casey mistake, talking to everybody.
Yeah, I know. It's okay. So here's a story time, right? So now that you understand like what your boundaries are for keeping people like in your network, let's think about the way that you're communicating and why it's important to be able to communicate effectively with these people. So let's talk about a story. So everyone knows Paul Revere, right? You all know Paul Revere. He rode from Boston, 1775, rode north, raised a militia, right? He sounded the alarm for the Revolutionary War. William Dawes did the exact same thing, except he wrote south, which doesn't really matter in this instance, but his messaging was the same. The reason why history remembers Paul Revere is because Paul Revere was an information broker. An information broker is a person who occupies a key role in a social network by connecting unrelated groups of people. So when he targeted well-connected people during his ride, the news then spread, you know, wildly and very quickly. William Dawes was not an information broker. He didn't know what doors to knock down and when he entered that small town. So the moral of the story is take this into consideration with your own skill sets, with your own businesses, with whatever you're working on that's of value. If that information is not delivered to the right people, it will fall into obscurity just like William Dawes. Now that you guys have an understanding of why you're communicating effectively, let's think about what your networking goal actually is. So everything on this page that you see here, these are identifiable networking activities. It's not just picking up the phone and talking to somebody. It is actually identifying ways that you can continue to maintain and nurture the kinds of people you already have in your network. But to do that, you need to build engagement on your LinkedIn profile. If you're a subject matter expert in your field, or even have thoughtful, intentional content that you know you can put out, that's what you should be doing on your LinkedIn profile because people are checking you out. Are you staying in front of your current network with, again, that thoughtful content? So if you've got a really great article that you've written, if you've done a podcast, if you've done Casey's podcast, whatever it may be, keeping in front of your current network by connecting with those right people on LinkedIn is a great way for them to see what's going on. Are you building new professional friendships? Again, low-hanging fruit is very important to build up your tier one and tier two people when it comes to building a network. However, are you building new professional relationships, which means that you have to support them in some way? Commenting on their article, reaching out to say, hey, I've got this event or this networking group I think you'd be really interested in. Providing value is the foundation of networking. Are you reaching out to past clients or vendors or colleagues and checking in? Now, I'm talking about checking in as you're going into the conversation hot, which means that you've got a resource or a tool or something that you can share with them that could potentially help them grow their business or just help them personally because you took the second to think, how can I really make this person's day? Are you learning and developing a new skill from a local subject matter expert? Guess what? Subject matter experts right now have no gatekeepers because everyone's home. So if you go and reach out to them via LinkedIn, send a message, Casey has done this before, and just started the conversation to say, I would love to learn more about how you got started in this business or your thoughts on this from the article that you wrote. Have a conversation because SMEs also have a really close-knit network. They also have a broader network because they specialize in one area and they typically outsource other topics to other vendors. So think about that as you guys are communicating with somebody new. Again, are you nurturing your network by staying engaged with their content? Their content is important, whether it's on Instagram, whether it's on Facebook or LinkedIn. We're going to specifically talk about LinkedIn today. Social media profiles are a little bit more intense, but LinkedIn is the place where professionally where you should be at all times. Now that you understand the activities that actually takes to build a network, think about who the hell am I networking with? But putting that into perspective, think about these top three categories of people. Strategic partners. These are people who complement your industry. So for example, a real estate agent and a divorce lawyer are fantastic strategic partners because when somebody's getting divorced, typically they're downsizing or upgrading depending on the agreement. But they're able to share clients throughout the timeline or the phase that that client is going through. So if someone's getting divorced, they're typically going to need a financial advisor. They're going to need somebody to sell their house. They're going to need somebody to work with on the lawyer front. Think about the life cycle of your client so that way you can network with people that also have a touch point with that same client. Subject matter experts, if you suck at something and you want to get better at it, reach out to those people. These people should be in your network so you can reference them, so you can showcase them, and so you can also identify ways to work with them because their audience is very broad. And then your current network. These are people that you've already built the know, the like, and the trust factor with. These people are the ones that are going to advocate for you when you're not in the room. You have to maintain that conversation. As you're figuring out who to network with, it's got to go through these top three areas.
Can I give an example for them as a graduate student? Because they're not selling today, a lot of them. So you're a subject matter expert. I think Melissa's on here. I'm not sure if she's on here, but she's studying enzymes in beef cattle. When I was at AB Vista, I think we supported her master's thesis, for instance. And so use that network, you know, that's going to advocate for you out of the room when you're looking for a job. AB Vista may not be hiring, for instance, but hopefully somebody, you know, hears of a job and says, well, I know this really great graduate student coming out, connect with her. And that's kind of really what I'm trying to do is connect you guys with a great recruiting firm to help you find your new job. And then I'm also advocating for some of you outside of the room. So by connecting with me, but you're looking to get a job, where do you want to work at? build that network around people that's in that industry, in that type of job that you want. Connect with them, because they're going to hear about jobs that will come open and potentially help you get those jobs. Everybody knows me as an enzyme person or a sow lameness person, but if I'm not selling the right ingredient, I advocate for people who are selling the right ingredient. You're advocating, we are going to become subject matter experts, or we're known as subject matter experts, but we don't know everything. So you need to have a good portfolio in your network of people who do know, so you can help. And that's what makes stronger relationships.
And if it's okay that you don't know how to help just yet, but start being curious about those industries. Start asking the right questions, right? So especially if you guys, again, if you're not selling anything right now, but what you're doing is that you're providing, you're giving people ways to help you, but you have to ask the question. You have to ask for that information. And now your network could potentially be, again, I'm talking about strategic partners, but if we're going on the student side, really people that you've worked with in the past, people, you know, your previous managers, go into a deeper dive into who they are, what they do, what makes them awesome, and then also share what your goals are. People genuinely want to help. And if you already built the know and the like factor with them and you're working on building the trust, ask. We're going to talk more about what those questions may or may not be. For example, if you're reaching out to an SME, we're going to talk about how to communicate effectively and what questions to ask them. And you guys will also get this as well. All right. So how to communicate effectively. So you're all students. I understand the fear of really trying to stand out, right, in order to get the job, in order to be seen as an SME in your field. So what you really want to start thinking about is making your name memorable. I'm not talking about going and giving somebody a call and like steamrolling the conversation or peacocking it at an event or a virtual event. So as you are communicating effectively, you really, 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 really want to make your name memorable. So this is giving yourself permission to engage in a way that's a bit vulnerable. Yes, the world is a dumpster fire right now. Everyone is struggling. How do you help? How do you provide value? How can you help them or provide an insight or have a good brainstorming session with that person? End a conversation with the future in mind. If you're ending the conversation with the future in mind, you've actually taken some thought into how you might be able to help that person. Or if you want to continue and expand on a particular topic that you talked about, you know the next time you're going to talk to that person. So that's how you nurture the network. That's how you nurture the people that you have the pleasure and the privilege of having in your network. Plan structured next step conversations. If you have an introduction conversation with somebody on LinkedIn or you've commented thoughtfully on some one of their posts, you always, always, always want to make sure that you're ending the conversation with the future in mind. Or excuse me, you're planning the next structured next step conversation. So this person knows what you'd like to talk about. They can become a mentor halfway down the line. The other bit is recognizing storytelling opportunities. You've really got to recognize the fact that right now you may not have a ton of experience, and that's okay. But if you're able to help someone in an effective way, it allows you to tell the story of how you got there. Take a problem that you fixed. You're in school right now. I completely understand. But let me tell you something. There's a project that you have troubleshooted through. There's a lesson that you've learned. Educate that person and how you've been able to go through and manage your way through that conversation. Because at the end of the day, that's going to show the kind of character that you have, the kind of person that you are. Build a diverse network. Don't just stick to the people that you want to chat with. Now, the reason why I'm saying this is because we all network with people that look like us. All of us do. It's a human behavior trait. I will challenge you to build a diverse network because it is so much more eye-opening. There's so much growth potential there. And the reason why it can develop a more complete and creative, unbiased views of issues is because when you trade information or skills with people who experiences differ from your own, you're now providing one another with a unique and exceptionally valuable resource. So start putting yourself out there, talking to all different kinds of groups. You guys are younger than me. I'm a millennial. So you guys are all way more inclusive than I was brought up to be. But so start continuing to do those activities because it's so, 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 so important. Oh, Caroline, great question. How to deal with people that are not open to talk? So it depends on when they shut you down. Is it you're already on the call or are they saying, no, I'm not available to talk right now? Because the way that you approach the question, usually you're giving them no reason to say no if you're just saying, can we talk? But if you're saying, here's what I would like to talk about, I was hoping that you had 15 minutes, to discuss. I'm really interested in X, Y, and Z. Why wouldn't anybody want to talk to you? They may not have the time, or they may ignore you. And you know what? If they ignore you, tough shit. There's 1,400,000 million people that could also go in and say that you can chat with.
We hope that you enjoyed this discussion. You can watch the replay of this webinar, along with the rest of our webinar replays, on our YouTube channel, Animal Science Office Hours. And now we would like to also thank our sponsors once again, NutriQuest, IFF, and Continental Search. We are gracious that you support us in this journey. Before we go, are you finding it difficult to create your own version of success? Do you even know what success looks like for you? Well, if you don't, I suggest that you reach out to the Sunswine Group by visiting our website and booking your free next steps. We'll discuss your career and how the Sunswine Group can help you navigate that. Because our model is simple. We make pigs and dreams fly. Our mission is to share knowledge, to mentor future leaders, and transform innovation while creating a neural network of expertise to help any person, including you, any animal, or any company succeed. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to check out our socials. Find us on Facebook and LinkedIn at Coffee and Careers in Animal Science, or Instagram at coffee.and.careers. And remember, life is short. Drink your coffee in the barn.